Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, help us take to heart the words by G.K. Chesterton. In order that life should be a story or romance, it's necessary that a great part of it should be settled for us without our permission. We make our friends, we make our enemies, but you, God, make our next-door neighbor. God, call us out of our fear, apathy, or foolish anger, as well as our false idealism. Call us to love our real neighbor. We can dilute the nuanced otherness of our neighbor or their complex wildness by dismissing them or by superficially bringing them into our control, calling them my family, my community, my country. But then we may be simply justifying ourselves. God, call us past self-absorption to love our actual neighbor. You commanded, practice hospitality, and the Greek word for hospitality is literally, love the foreigner like a brother. So help us, God. I humbly pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Senator Ankeny.
Mr. President, I rise on a point of personal privilege.
Senator Ankeny.
Yesterday, a former colleague of ours in the Senate and a very good friend of mine passed to the other side. Former Senator Matt Cole, who grace this body here, and I don't think I never heard a bad word say about Matt Cole, so I'd ask for a moment of silence.
Please rise. Thank you. Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, may I be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction?
Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce the spouse of Senator Lang today, Lorna.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I can be off and out for an introduction also.
Senator Kerry.
We have an new page with us today. Actually, not new. I guess she was in the House yesterday. Reese Pitcher is a junior at Granite High School, where she participates in volleyball, basketball, tennis, and serves on the student council as vice president of her class. Reese is a member of the National Honor Society and G Club, which means she has lettered in varsity sports. After graduation, Reese plans to attend a four-year university to study clinical or experimental psychology. Before continuing on to law school. That's quite unique. Her sponsor is Senator Sweeney.
Welcome to the Senate. All right, seeing no further announcements, without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on finance and claims. Report that House Bill 188 be concurred in and that House Bill 4330 and 357 be concurred as amended, signed Senator Ryan Osmunson, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed in public health, welfare, and safety. Report that House Bill 703 be concurred in as amended, Senator David Hyward, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, committee reports are adopted. Order business number three, reports to select committees.
Mr. President, we are free conference committee met and considered Senate Bill 354 and recommend this free conference committee report be adopted, Senator Steve Heidenbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, we are conference committee met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 112 and recommend this conference committee report be adopted for this signed Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committee on your select committee on marijuana law Report that House Bill 655 be concurred and amended. Senator Jason Ellsworth, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Go to order business number four, messages from the governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Tuesday, April 20th, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 33, McNally, Senate Bill 43, Sands, Senate Bill 49, Blaisdell, Senate Bill 55, Kornauer, Senate Bill 57, Pomnikowski, Senate Bill 101, Smith, Senate Bill 135, Fitzpatrick, Senate Bill 156, Bennett. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives from the Senate that the following Senate bills were on this day for three sole times concurred in title and history agreed to and hereby returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 134, Small, 155, Jacobson, 213, Regeer, 219, Howard, 237, Carey, 243, Bennett, 254, McNally, 244, Bogner, 344, Bogner, 365, Regeer. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three sole times concurred in as amended title and history agreed to and hereby returned to the Senate for concurrence in House amendments. Senate Bill 87, Ankeny, 142, Bogner, 149, McGilvery, 183, Hertz, 220, Kornauer, 224, Fitzpatrick, 231, Blaisdell, 242, Vance, 284, Temple, 316, Fitzpatrick, 357, Gross. That the following Senate bill was not concurred in, and the committee on the whole, and the bill is here returned to the Senate, Senate Bill 29, Gillespie. Following Senate bill was not concurred on third reading. The bill is here returned to the Senate, Senate Bill 332, Manzella. House of Representatives acceded to the request of the Senate as authorized the Speaker to appoint conference committees. Senate Bill 306, Representatives Tom Pro Tem Knudsen, Phelan, Ferris, Olson. Senate amendments to House Bill 276, the Speaker was authorized to appoint a conference committee. Request the Senate committee, a like committee, to confer on Senate amendments to House Bill 276, Representatives appointed Lenz, Gillette, and Caffaro. House Bill 502, Free Conference Committee. Representatives appointed Sheldon Galloway, Lenz, Bishop. House Bill 525, Free Conference Committee. Representatives appointed Buttrey, Galt, and Sullivan. Respectfully, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolutions 33 and 34 have been introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, welcome back.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Chairman S., Chairman of the day.
Members of the committee, please be in order. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on Senate Bill 319 and to pass consideration for the day on Senate Bill 367.
Without objection, so ordered. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 93. What is your pleasure, Senator Heinbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Resolution Number 93.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Mr. Chair, Senate Resolution 93 is confirming one of the Board of Outfitters appointments. This appointment is John Way from Ennis. He actually was appointed by the by Governor Bullock, and our new governor agreed with that. That just goes to show you the other side of the aisle said he's partisan, but that's not true because he just picks the best guy. But John Way is sells some fishing supplies and does fishing guiding from Ennis. So please give it a green light. Thanks.
Any discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, Senator Carey to close. Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Heinbaugh that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 93, same be adopted. Many in favor vote aye. Opposed, no. Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye, 0 no. The resolution has been adopted. Members of the committee, We now have before us Senate Resolution number 99. What's your pleasure, Senator Heidenbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Resolution number 99.
Senator Heidenbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's two people that are appointed to the Board of Outfitters on this resolution. One of them is Chris Gentry from Ennis. She has a store and sells a lot of equipment or a lot of supplies to outfitters, and will be a good addition there. The other one is Wagner Harmon from Bainville. He's a rancher and an outfitter over on that side of the state, on the eastern side of the state. So I think these are good appointments. Let's vote green.
Is there any discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, the sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. As many as in favor of Senate Resolution 99, vote aye. Opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators voting aye, 2 voting no. Senate Resolution 99 has been adopted. Members of the committee, Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I made a mistake. I meant House Bill 367, and I believe I said Senate Bill 367. So House Bill 367, we're going to pass for the day. Senate Bill 367 is fine.
Okay, without objection, we'll pass that one for today. And Senator Smith, what was the other bill that you moved passed for the day?
Senate Bill 319.
Senate Bill 319, number 20. All righty, thank you. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 647. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 647, introduced by Galloway, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to Hunting and Fishing Licenses for Non-Resident College Students, authorizing the sale of certain licenses at resident equivalent prices, revising eligibility provisions for all non-resident college student licenses, amending section, and providing a delayed effective date.
Sections
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 647. What's your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 647 and recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you learn something every day. I didn't even know we had a special license for non-resident college students. But there's a handout on your desk. It's a graph. And you can see there's a steep decline in this graph. Sometimes when you have a steep decline such as that, maybe that indicates that you might have made a mistake. And so prior to 2015, a non-resident college student could buy a big game combination license for $70. And you could see about 475 college students at that time were purchasing those licenses. So due to the reconfiguration, what happened in 2015, and we increased and changed some license fees, that law then became a non-resident college student could buy a non-resident combo license for one half the rate. So currently it's $523 for those college students. So if you look at the bill right now, on line 22, that will be the same. So there's other states that give non-resident college students a resident rate when they're in those states. So if this student is coming from a state that doesn't offer non-resident license to Montana students, so if you had students down, Montana students in Utah, and Utah may not provide those students a special rate, well, then we're not going to provide Utah students when they come to Montana. They're still going to have to follow the existing law and pay one half the rate. But if you go over to the second page, line 3, if Utah was giving Montana students that discounted rate where they could buy Utah license at the resident rate, then we're going to give those Utah students, when they come to Montana or any other state, reciprocity in our state, and we will also provide them a ability to buy the license at the normal resident rate. So we had a lot of good supporters in our committee on this bill. All the outfitting associations and the anybody who is in there supporting, you know, our hunting heritage, and that's one thing we need to make sure we continue to do in Montana. We need to develop hunters, and you know, you got to think about these non-resident students too. They're already coming here to Montana. They're paying some pretty significant fees for when they're attending a great university like the University of Montana and the Fighting Grizzlies, and you know how good their football team is. So they all like to hunt also. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend a due pass on this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion on the bill, Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. I agree with my good neighbor from Polson. This is a bill that encourages out-of-state students to move to Montana and learn more about our heritage and our culture, and I encourage a green light.
Further discussion, Senator Jacobson.
Mr. Chair, you know, and this is a great feel-good bill, but I'm going to be opposed to it, a reluctant opposition. It was just a couple sessions ago that we spent an incredible amount of time restructuring and looking at our licenses and the costs. And we did take a look at this, and that's when we actually we brought those costs up. And so rather than piecemealing a license system and costs based on what we like and what sounds good and what feels good, I would request this body reject this bill, because really what we need to do is keep it as part of a comprehensive package of licenses and fees, and allow the committee to do a comprehensive budget. It's just, instead of just taking onesies and twosies, let's keep it all together. Let's respect the work that we did a couple sessions ago. And when we come back and we look at license fees again in the future, we can take this into consideration then. So please vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would also ask you to resist this proposal. And with all due respect to the good senator from Polson, this is a laudable goal. I agree with that. But the good senator from Great Falls brought up a good point. In 2015, we were tasked to go out and completely revamp the funding mechanism and the structure for fish, wildlife, and park licenses. And the one thing that the committee, over their 18 months worth of work, the first thing that kind of was found out and agreed upon by stakeholders that now are, that were part of that agreement then, that are now supporting this bill, which I find a little bit disappointing, but that's a whole other thing. That the first thing that we found was the low-hanging fruit, and that is carve-outs in our special licenses. And by doing away with that and keeping it fair and flat, it, number one, it brought our regulation book from something that was about this thick and complicated to something that lay people can understand. But it also brought the funding structure for fish, wildlife, and parks to a point where their finances are healthy now, and it's not because that they had to charge more money. It's because we found the low-hanging fruit. Even though this isn't a lot, it's not a lot of change. It's taken us down the wrong road. These set-asides were, or these carve-outs were agreed upon by, again, a broad group of stakeholders that they were the wrong approach in 2015. This starts us back down the road, and in my opinion, what was wrong in 2015 is also wrong in 2021, so please vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
Hello, I will.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, is the next logical step in this for tuition for kids that are at school to be in-state when they come from out-of-state?
Mr. Chairman, no, it is not. And you bring up a good point about non-resident tuition. So think about the economics of this. And I don't know what non-resident tuition is right now, but $30,000 a year for a student maybe? So they're paying the state a lot of money to support our universities, so I think just a little encouragement here will help. Here's the other thing that maybe these non-resident hunters might like to do. They could get to write to where you are, representative. They would like to come here and maybe stop going to school for a year and become a resident. Then they'll get cheaper non-resident fees, plus we'll lose their non-resident fees they're paying to our university. So yeah, look at the big picture here. Thank you.
Further discussion on this little fish and game bill. Senator Brown.
Yeah, so I'll make it brief, I guess. Low-hanging fruit. We can see in 2015 that low-hanging fruit fell to the ground. And it's going down ever since. You know, the one thing, the way I looked at this is you know what, this gets our students out, gives them another opportunity to do something, enjoy Montana while they're here, and really understand what Montana is about and why they came to Montana. And I'll close and just to be brief, this is supported by the Sportsman's Caucus.
Further discussion, Senator Regier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Would the sponsor yield?
I will if the senator takes me hunting.
You bet. Mr. Chairman, Senator, it says college students. We're talking private college, too. I know there are some really small independent private colleges, so I'm assuming all of them, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would make that assumption, too.
Okay, thank you. Let's go hunting.
Further discussion, seeing none, the sponsor care to close.
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman, and our license fee account is flush. It is very flush from that 2015 increase. None of the other license holder, non-resident holders, will you see a graph that looks like this. Our non-resident hunting is still continuing to growing, except for these students. So let's give them a little bit of help here, and if you know one, take them hunting. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 647, the recommend the same be concurred in. Any in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators voting aye, 19 aye, vote 19 voting nay. House Bill 647 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 247. What is your clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 247, introduced by Bertaglio, a bill for an act entitled revising motor vehicle registration, requiring the Department of Justice to define the number of vehicles needed to constitute a fleet, exempting vehicles with fleet license plates from needing registration decals to be affixed, providing rulemaking authority, and amending sections.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 247. What's your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House Bill 247, Mr. Chairman, that the same be concurred in.
Senator Sands.
Members of the body, this is a little pro-business bill that came to Highways and Transportation. It was brought to us by a number of the fleets that drive our state, whether that be the contractors or whether it be the Enterprise or one of those kinds of rental companies. What it does is allows the Department of Justice, which came in support, to define a fleet for the purpose of this bill, and that fleet then will have separate rules where they can get a permanent registration on all of their vehicles. It will issue a separate license plate. They will still pay the fee annually, but they don't have to go in there and put those little stickers on that drives all of us nuts. That's simply what the bill does. It's good for business. It'll make it a little easier for our counties that are kind of overwhelmed anyway in terms of driver's registration and all those issues, easier for the state. The department supports it, and great for that business. So I urge you to pass.
Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. The motion now, question now arises on the motion by Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 247, recommend the same be concurred. As many as favor, vote aye. Opposed, no. Has every member voted? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye. House Bill 247 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 464. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 464, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled an act repealing the local option motor fuel excise tax, repealing sections and providing an effective date.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 464. What's your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 464, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill which nullifies or takes out of code the local option tax authority for counties for a gas tax, and I just want to read Section 12 of the Montana Constitution, which is germane here. Out of Article 5, it says local and special legislation. The legislature shall not pass a special or local act when a general act is or can be made more applicable. And that's certainly applicable here. This local gas tax is not only just unconstitutional, in my opinion, but by nature, just by geography, it pits one retail outlet for gas against another. For example, if you're right on the county line and there's a gas station across on the other side of the county line, the one inside the county could be losing thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars by individuals who are just selectively shopping across the county line. This is a bad idea. It's time to get rid of it. And so I'd appreciate a green light.
Any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 464, signed Senator O'Brien. House Bill Amendment 046-4001-004.
Senator O'Brien.
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 464 with Amendment Number 46400104 and ask that it be posted and deemed read.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This amendment is simply delays the effective date of this bill. This amendment is about keeping promises. The voters, as we get, when we dive into the bill, which I'm not doing right now, but you're going to learn that work is already underway. Promises have already been made. Contracts have already been signed. Chip seal, gravel has already been ordered. This is well underway, folks, and if this bill does pass, we need to delay the start date of this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the amendment? Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, the sponsor considers an unfriendly amendment. I consider it perpetuating a bad idea, so please vote no.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the sponsor care to close on her amendment? Senator O'Brien, would you care to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the amendment by Senator O'Brien that House Bill 464 be amended. As many in favor, vote aye. Opposed, no. As our member voted, the clerk will record the vote. Pardon me. Yeah, just excused. Senator Wellborn.
Mr. Chairman, 20 senators vote aye and 29 senators vote nay.
20 voting aye, 29 voting no. The amendment fails. We're back on the bill. Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the sponsor care to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Real briefly, this is a really regressive tax. When I campaigned in my...
May I speak to the bill, Mr. Chair?
Oh, I didn't see you before I asked to close.
Sir, I was late. May I speak to the bill?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. As I mentioned before, ladies and gentlemen, this bill is it's about keeping promises, and there's nothing unconstitutional about this. We need to listen to our constituents. We need to listen to our voters. If you want to know part of the backstory, yes, this is Missoula. This is Missoula County. Our voters, on a ballot measure less than 6 months ago, voted for a 2 cents gas tax for potholes and for paving roads and for gravel. And we're talking about safe roads. We're not talking about glorious palaces. I ask you, how is it that we, as a body, up here in Helena, with our marble and our glorious rostrum, can decide what the voters really wanted when they voted in favor of this ballot measure? Our local commissioners have spent time year after year after year up here trying to explain the situations with their budgets to serve their constituents, our constituents in the county. And they were pulled aside afterward and said, use this local fuel tax. I have a list right here from our county commissioners. Seeley Lake, $300,000. This project is already underway. We have all sorts of areas in the far reaches of rural Missoula County and other places that are well underway. We are not forcing any other counties to do this, but this is a local control opportunity. Those of us on tax committee know that the money has to come from somewhere. I urge you to please vote no on this bill and honor the constituents' wishes.
Further discussion, Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, look like Senator O'Brien and our agreement on tax issues is older now, so. Yesterday, there was a sales tax study bill that went down, which I proudly supported, and I think we need to discuss that. This is a sales tax. There's nothing different about it. It is 100% a sales tax. So those of you who do not like sales tax, you should be supporting this bill. Other gas taxes that we charge are paid at the wholesale level. When the trucker comes up, fills up the tanks at the gas station, the tax is paid. But in this one, you pull up the station, fill up your gas tank, you go in, and you pay that tax to the retailer. That retailer then has to submit that tax back to the county and the city. It's not like the other gas tax where the wholesaler's sending it on to the state. So this is a sales tax. If you're against sales tax, you need to support this bill.
Further discussion, Senator Regier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. Those of you that were here in 2017 will remember House Bill 473. It raised gas tax, 5 cents a gallon, and it was incremental. We're going to have another increase again coming up here in July of this year. Since 2017, though, Missoula and Missoula County together have collected an additional $6 million because of that bill. They've got the money. Need to vote against or vote for House Bill 464. Government never has enough money.
Further discussion, Senator Boldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You know, I really appreciate the senator from Flathead so concerned about our public safety issues in Missoula County. I appreciate that. I think that you should allow us to deal with our issues in Missoula County, just like I will respect how your voters deal with your own. This is about a community of 112,000 people who voted themselves to help with our property taxes, help with other ways that we could create revenue to deal with the 1.5 million tourists that come to our community every year. So we came up with a solution, the 112,000 of us, to tax ourselves. And again, I appreciate the folks from the Flathead, and I appreciate your concern. This is about local control, not about a sales tax. We're asking you to just let us deal with our public safety issues in our community and with our own voters. Thank you.
For the discussion, Senator Gillespie, and I left a little leeway there, but keep to the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the body. Unfortunately, this goes all across our landscape, hits all of our rural communities, our smaller populated counties, and it pits one county against another, and another. And all my distributors that have weighed in on this are deadly against it. And the same way with the courthouse, this is going to put a more burden on them, as well as the distributors, again, trying to keep track of all this stuff. And I've, unfortunately, for the bill, I've heard nothing but no, no, no on this. So for me, it's a no.
Further discussion, Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. I'm going to rise in strong opposition to this bill as well. And I think that the good senator from Missoula touched on a lot of issues here. But ultimately, this comes down to one thing and one thing only: local control. There is no other county in the state that has to adopt this. You don't have to have this for your county if you don't want it. And the important thing to remember about this is that it wasn't just three commissioners in some sort of dark room making this decision. This was up for every single voter in our county. And they chose for themselves, for our county, not any other county around us, not any other county in the state, for the people that live in our specific county. They said, we've got real challenges that need to be addressed when it comes to infrastructure. And the important thing about this, when it comes to this 2 cents, is that it has to be used only for roads and bridges, not for equipment, not for personnel, for only improving our roads and bridges. That's something that's incredibly important to us. And we decided in our community, for ourselves, in a way that would not affect anyone else's community, that this was something that we needed to do. So we have heard over and over and over in this body about the importance of local control, that the most important people, the folks that have the best view of these things, are the people on the ground. And there's no more people that are on the ground than the voters. That's about as local as you can possibly get. So if you believe in local control, if you believe that each county should be able to make this decision for themselves, not folks up in Helena telling local governments what they can do with their own counties, then this bill has to be a no.
Senator Gillespie, for what purpose do you rise?
Okay, Mr. Chair, a major confession. When I was saying no, 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 I actually meant yes, yes, yes.
I think we understood that. Further discussion, Senator Morgeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll just add one quick thing. You know, as was mentioned by my good friend from Missoula, there's numerous projects and contracts that are already entered into. My question would be, who's going to pay for the liability and for those broken contracts when we pass this bill for all those projects that are in place?
For the discussion, Senator Pope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, this is a user fee. And it's very, very important for this body to understand as it goes to this vote that the major metropolitan areas around the state have turned into very complex social systems and urban areas. And where I fully would appreciate why a smaller community in the state of Montana might not understand why our larger communities are having to be very thoughtful and very judicious and very prudent about how to keep their citizens safe, that after hours and hours and hours of public conversation, city commission, county commission meetings, public hearings, that our communities, the larger communities in this state, have started to change fundamentally. Their economics are far more complicated than what we're seeing across the rest of the state. And I would hope that this body would respect that we really need the opportunity as communities to decide what's best for us and hope that the state government will take a step back and not dictate terms and conditions to our local communities. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just 2 years ago, we passed a 1% increase in resort tax. And the provisions that were key in supporting that bill from all of us here was that it had to be approved by voters and it had to specify how those funds would be used. That's exactly what's happened in Missoula County, albeit on a gas tax. I think we should support it with the same logic, and I think it, once again, is a local community that's feeling the impacts of all the visitors to our state and trying to find a way to maintain their infrastructure and in light of all that use. So I urge you to vote no on this.
Further discussion, seeing none. Senator McGillivray, would you care to close on this little bill that the camel's nose got right under the tent on me and got carried away?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to close on the bill. Let me first of all point out a few facts. There's a reason that the Constitution says what I read earlier. When you do a local tax like this, it creates distortion in the markets. Again, there's businesses right on the county lines that are definitely losing thousands and thousands of dollars to their competitors on the other side of the line. And I've also been informed that Missoula County is down on their gas sales by 11%. So this bill may be actually hurting overall gas tax revenues from Missoula County simply because people are just leaving the county to buy gases. Taxes and consumers do that. In Billings, I would do the same thing. If there was a gas tax in Yellowstone County, I'd just pop over to Stillwater County on my way here and buy my gas there. This is a regressive tax. When I campaigned in my district in 2018, I found that the people on the east side of that district that were lower income were definitely against a local option tax. The people on the high income side of the district were for it. This hurts the people that are digging chains out of their drawer to buy gases. And yes, I would also point out that this local option county tax passed 51-49. So there's nearly 50% of the people in Missoula County that didn't want this. And lastly, I would point out this. I read the law multiple times. There's nowhere in this law that says the money has to be spent on infrastructure like roads or bridges, etc. Any county with this tax, based on this law, can spend it any way they want. So I agree. I appreciate a green light on this bill. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion by Senator McGillivray that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 464, recommend the same be concurred in. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. As every member voted, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators have been voting aye, 17 nay. House Bill 464 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, now have before you a Senate Joint Resolution 26. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands? Do we need to read the history and title of that, sir? Yes? Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
SJR 26, introduced by Sands, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana requesting an interim study of the adequacy of the Montana Women's Prison Facility and programs.
Sections.
Sections 1.
Members of the committee, now before you, Senate Joint Resolution 26. What's your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 26, that the same be agreed to pass.
Adopted. Senator Sands.
Members of the body, for my entire 16 years in the legislature, I have served on the Interim Committee on Law and Justice. So I bring this particular resolution as a topic for the Interim Committee to study because I think It both gives the interim committee and legislators the opportunity to dig deeply into one of our major institutions in the state, which is the women's prison, both at the 10,000-foot level and at the on-the-ground micro level. I was involved in the movement of that facility back in 94 from an abandoned nurse's dorm at Warm Springs to Billings because we felt that the resources that were in the Billings community were better for being able to address the needs of women we have in the correction system. So this study asks us to take a look at both the facility, which we have heard from the department who came in with a lot of information. I worked closely with them on the drafting of this. That facility is not adequate in some ways. For example, it doesn't have a 24-hour infirmary. They now have a number of inmates who are in the geriatric category. We have separate facilities for that in the men's facility, not in the women's. And the issue of adequacy for programming. And that includes everything from occupational as well as therapeutic and other kinds of programming that we know we need. The women's prison is somewhat different than the men's prison. Most of the women who are in there, many of them have sexual abuse backgrounds. Many of them are mothers as well. And so there are a number of opportunities that we have to really look at how our justice reinvestment activities have been working in there. How do we work with reentry programs to ensure that they don't come back into the system? And so with that, I would just tell you that the Department of Justice has been quite involved in the drafting of this proposal. And I think it will be very productive and perhaps result in some interesting analysis and change for the next session. Mr. Chairman, please vote green.
Is there any discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion by Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 26, that the same do pass. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 voting aye, 9 voting no. Senate Joint Resolution 26 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Joint Resolution 28. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SJR 28, introduced by Blaisdell, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana requesting an intern study of erosion along the Flathead River. Sections 1.
Members of the committee, now before you, Senate Joint Resolution 28. What is your pleasure? Senator Blaisdell.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 28, I recommend the same do pass.
Senator Blaisdell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, first thank you to the Senate Natural Resources Committee for having a quick Zoom meeting on Friday to hear this bill, or the study resolution. This is brought on behalf of the Flathead Conservation District, although the whole association also did weigh in on this. Although this does address just the Flathead, Upper Flathead River area, I think it could be looked at in a number of other areas too. What we experienced in the Flathead, especially in that area with the shoreline and the makeup of the soil and so forth, and the increased population and everything, is the challenges that we're seeing with riverbank erosion, both from recreationists, but also just how those landowners and the conservation districts can work through how to remedy this and do things on the shoreline. There's been a couple studies on this in the early 2000s by a number of these organizations dealing with the flow of the river, and also the areas that were impacted more greatly to try to identify those. But what they've done is they've continued to run into kind of a brick wall of a way to actually fix some of this at the local level. So what they did is they reached out to me and asked if they could bring this before the EQC committee to have them look at it, bring a number of the stakeholders in. You know, I grew up down in this Lower Valley area, and I know a lot of the farmers that are down there, and some of them are losing 20 to 30 feet a year on their shoreline. And a lot of them don't know what to do because they can't afford to keep trying to repair it, but they can't keep farming either. So you're looking at areas where they might just be taking this out of agriculture, and I surely don't want to see that as well. So I can go into it a little bit more if there's questions, but they're looking at to the legislature, first of all, to shine a spotlight on this. They'd love to get the EQC committee up there to take a tour and see it. But they also want to see all the different, not only the groups in here, but the fish and game, the DNRC, and a number, maybe the Army Corps of Engineers and that in here to see if we can come to some solutions, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the resolution? Senator Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do think that this is a good bill that we should bring to an interim committee. It doesn't necessarily need to be EQC, but my thought was water policy might want to have a look at it also or instead, because I do think it's appropriate to try to bring stakeholders together to find ways to help local communities. We had a bill that came through this place that changed the makeup of the River Basin Councils. We all voted for that. And I do think that that's a group that we can use under this legislation to kind of help folks out to have their voice heard in those local areas. I think what the senator has brought forward to us and the president has brought forward to the group, I think is something that can be used in the as a model for those groups to get together and solve problems in their local area. So I hope you'll support this, Mr. Chair.
For discussion, Senator Gillespie.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. I'd like to speak to the bill a little bit. I was on that committee, and I think has been echoed already, but hopefully we can learn a lot about this that we could maybe apply all over the state. I know town of Lewistown, they've resurrected about 3/4 or a mile of stream there that was eroding badly and made some changes, and they've got a beautiful creek out of the deal right now. So hopefully I just fully support this. I think this will be a real good session that we can hopefully apply all over the state, maybe if we need to. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Hoven.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this issue started being studied in 1983, and we know what the problem is. It requires riprap along the bank. But for 35 years, we haven't come up with a way to get that done. This study is not going to get that done. That's the solution, is riprap. But the Army Corps of Engineers and the other feds are involved. We can study it to death. It's going to be a waste of money. But, you know, that's your choice. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Kerr to close. Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion by Senator Blaisdell when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 28, the same do pass. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
43 senators voting aye, 7 no. Senate Joint Resolution 28 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, now have before you House Bill 624. Clerk, read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 624, introduced by Buckley, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing the Business Task Force on Child Care, establishing membership, establishing duties, requiring a report, establishing a special revenue account, providing an appropriation, and providing an immediate effective date and a termination date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 624. What is your pleasure, Senator Sayles?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 624, that it recommend that it be concurred in.
Senator Sayles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, Senate members. House Bill 624 will establish a task force of business leaders to make recommendations to incentivize employer-supported early child care and improve child care access and affordability. On your desk, you're going to find some figures that I had printed off that shows the impact of what you're seeing as a state. And these figures show the reason why I was interested in bringing this forward and thinking a little bit outside of the box and finding a solution to an issue that I heard over and over, and I'm sure many of you heard also, on the cost and the availability of child care over our campaigning years. So as you can see by the list of sponsors on this bill and the group of legislators that have been working together with the Department of Labor, which I want to tell you, the Department of Labor is very enthusiastic to help us find out of this box thinking a solution towards child care. but these stakeholders have brought this issue to, in front of you tonight, and it does include private and public sectors, which I think is being very innovative in the efforts trying to find steps towards finding solutions. So looking at the bill, Section 1, that's where we set up the parameters and the participants of the committee. Various business sectors will be included, including size of those business sectors. And also we look at geographic locations and include the chambers on both the east and west sides of our states. Section 2 lays out the guidance and duties and the reporting of their recommendations that they do find, which would then identify the barriers that we do run up against. And Section 3 sets up a special revenue account that will credit the Department of Labor and Industry, consisting of grants, gifts, donations from both public and private, like I talked about. And I do want to share that the four, I think it's $45,000, is set aside from private grants, so that will be a zero cost to the state on getting this finished. And the last piece I want to show you in this bill is Section 6, which does hold a termination date, which I believe will hold the feet to the fire and will use the best industries that we have in this and working with the private and public sectors to definitely show what steps need to be taken. So I would encourage agreeing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, the sponsor care to close.
Appreciate this. Fits great. Thank you. See you.
Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion by Senator Sayles that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 624, recommend the same be concurred in. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 voting aye, 19 nay. House Bill 624 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 704. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 704, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled Act creating a special raffle or lottery game for the benefit of the Board of Horse Racing, allowing the State Lottery Commission to establish an annual special raffle or lottery, giving the Commission authority to transfer proceeds to the Board of Horse Racing, providing rulemaking authority and amending section.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 704. What's your pleasure, Senator Bogner?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 704, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Bogner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 704 marries two different issues to create a solution for both. The first issue has to do with the Montana lottery. If you're familiar with the Montana Millionaire, you probably know how successful it's become. The issue there is that there has become a demand for the consumer to want to play raffles more often, to have that opportunity to continue to play. The second issue has to do with horse racing in the state and the need for investment dollars. It's estimated that for every dollar invested by Montana horse racing tracks through continued operation, a value of $1.90 is added to the state economy, almost double. So the Board of Horse Racing is in need of some economic development funds to continue to invest and grow the industry. So House Bill 704 creates a raffle similar to the Montana Millionaire, where 50% of net revenue from that raffle goes to the Board of Horse Racing to assist and promote live horse racing in the state. It's a great economic development plan for horse racing in the state, and would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any discussion on the bill? You can bet on it. Seeing none, would the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion by Senator Bogner. What this committee does rise and report that House Bill 704 be concurred in. Any is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 37 senators vote aye and 13 senators vote nay.
37 senators voting aye, 13 voting nay. House Bill 704 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, we now have before us the conference committee report to Senate Bill 39. What is your pleasure? Senator Regier.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration a conference committee on Senate Bill 39, that the same be adopted. Mr. Chair.
Senator Regier.
Members of the Senate, Senate Bill 39 set standards and a professional endorsement for those that conduct psychosexual evaluations. The House amendments did not have a grandfather clause, so the conference committee amended that and corrected it. So I ask you to concur with adopting.
Any discussion? Senator Sands.
Mr. Chairman, served on the conference committee, worked on this issue with the sponsor and others for some time. This solves some pretty tricky problems we had in dealing with an ongoing professional organization and trying to wrap them into our normal licensing procedure. All is well. We did good work. Vote for it. Thank you.
For discussion, seeing none, the sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion by Senator Regier that when the conference committee to Senate Bill 39 is considered the same, be adopted. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. It's every member voted. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye. This conference committee report to Senate Bill 39 has been adopted. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 641. Clerk, read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 641, introduced by Gist, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to Search and Rescue Units, authorizing a search and rescue unit to possess human remains for training search and rescue canines, revising laws related to anatomical gifts to allow search and rescue units as authorized drones in certain circumstances, allowing monetary donations for the support and training of search and rescue units, providing statutory appropriation and amending sections.
Sections
1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 641. What is your pleasure, Senator Bob Brown?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 641, that the same be concurred in.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you've read this bill, well, first off, I'm going to ask that you'd lend me an ear and help me give this bill a leg up. You know, all joking aside, this really is a very important issue that we're dealing with here. And what it's really about is training these cadaver dogs and, you know, these search and rescue dogs so they can help find our loved ones. I don't think we can really understand the importance of the availability of these until it is maybe one of our loved ones out there. You know, I think of the missing and murdered indigenous women and that kind of stuff as we talk about this, but how important it is for us to have this ability within our state. And what this is really doing is allowing us the ability to train dogs here in the state and to keep them up to date on what their job really is. There's many, many things here. Dogs are amazing creatures to begin with, and we understand that. The talking points I have here, they can smell 15 feet down in the dirt or, 15 feet through snow. And we see them on television a lot of times. I know in our state it hasn't really happened in a long time, I'm sure, but these disasters happen, and they're searching rubble piles and things like that with these dogs. If we had a good fleet of dogs in this state, we could lend a hand to other states as well in times of need, or other countries for that matter. So, in closing, I'm going to ask that you would lend me a hand and vote green.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion by Senator Brown that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 641 recommends the same be concurred in. As many in favor vote aye, opposed vote no. As every member voted, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye, 0 no. House Bill 641 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 665. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 665, introduced by Lur, a bill for an act intended on providing that booking photographs are public criminal justice information requiring a criminal justice agency to charge a clerking fee for release of certain booking photographs, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 665. What is your pleasure, Senator Heimbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 665, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Mr. Chairman, this House Bill 665 is a bill about photographs and about two different requirements for photographs. The first one is mentioned on page 1, and it just puts investigative and intelligence photographs in the criminal or the confidential criminal justice information, so that if you have a photograph, you can't let it out to the public for purposes of investigation, so that we don't hurt victims and in that situation. The next part of this bill is clear to the end in page 5, where it talks about mugshots. And we understand that people can take mugshots and put them in a paper and make people guilty before they are proven guilty. And so all we're asking is for paper staff to pay $100 for the photo until they are proven guilty. There's some exceptions to this, for if there was a Amber Alert for somebody missing a sheriff or a police officer could change the situation to where he could let that out if it would help the search. So anyway, it's a good bill. Let's please vote green.
Any discussion on House Bill 665? Seeing none, Senator, care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion by Senator Heimbaugh that when House Bill 665, when this committee does rise and report that it recommend House Bill 665 be concurred in. As many as in favor vote aye. Opposed, no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
43 voting aye, 7 no. House Bill 665 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, now have before you House Bill 696. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 696, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to crisis intervention teams, revising administration of the program, requiring reporting to the legislature, providing an appropriation, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 696. What is your pleasure, Senator Regier?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 696, that the recommend the same be concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Senator Regier.
Members of Senate, House Bill 696 revises laws related to crisis intervention teams. We'll call that CIT. Crisis intervention teams. This bill appropriates $75,000 to help provide CIT training. The effect of mental illness on the criminal justice system is enormous. Public safety officers testified in committee that over half of their cases have a mental health component to them. Helping these officers be able to recognize and handle mental illness can de-escalate bad situations. CIT training is for all professional responders. That's EMTs, fire, police, sheriff, etc. CIT Montana has been going in Montana since 2005. There has been a struggle for agencies to fund classes as well as fund coordinators to assist with the training throughout the state. The goal is to make a statewide CIT program and hire staff. House Bill 696 will help train responders to deal with mental illness. Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on House Bill 696? Seeing none, the question now arises on a motion by Senator Rozier that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 696, recommend the same be concurred in. As many in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye. House Bill 696 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, now have before you House Bill 522. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 522, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing a military strategic and economic impact task force concerning retention and development of military installations and force structure to provide economic development opportunities in Montana, allocating task force to the Department of Commerce for administrative purposes, providing for task force membership, expense reimbursement, and duties, creating a state special revenue account, providing an appropriation, and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 522. What is your pleasure, Senator Fox?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 522, recommend that the same be concurred in.
Senator Fox.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 522 is an act establishing military strategic and economic impact task force concerning the retention and development of military installations and force structures to provide economic development opportunities in Montana. The Montana National Guard and Department of Military Affairs provides more than $415 million in economic impact to the state of Montana. Monster Air Force Base provides an additional $655 million annually to the state of Montana and economic impact. Federal base alignment and closure activities and other cost-cutting measures will put current military missions in Montana at risk, which will greatly impact our economy. Most states with military missions and assets have formed government-sanctioned advocacy groups to help protect existing military structure forces in their states. Montana is one of the few states lacking this type of statewide organization. This will help Montana be successful as national cuts to the military are made. The membership will consist of 8 members, 7 of which will be appointed by the governor, and 1 will be appointed jointly by the president of the Senate and speaker of the House. Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, sponsor care to close?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I believe it's a good investment in our economic future, and I urge a green vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The question now arises on a motion by Senator Fox that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration the House Bill 522, recommend the same be concurred in. As many as in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 39 senators vote aye and 11 senators vote nay.
39 voting aye, 11 no. House Bill 522 has passed second, has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, now have before you House Bill 689. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 689, introduced by Dooling, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising campaign finance and campaign practice laws, establishing requirements for reporting contributions and expenditures from political committees that lease property from the state of Montana and the Montana University System, repealing provisions related to the voluntary filing of broadcast materials, providing an appropriation, revising reporting requirements applicable to religious organizations and campaigns to protect the free exercise of religion as guaranteed by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 2, Section 5 of the Montana Constitution, revising definitions, amending sections, repealing section, and providing an immediate effective date.
And how many sections are
there? Sections 1 through 15.
So, members of the committee, now I have before you House Bill 689. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had into consideration House Bill 689, it recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, it's another bill which revises campaign finance and practice laws. It does, I think, three things. The first thing it does is it requires political committees who operate out of state-owned property to provide a little bit more disclosure to those of us here in the legislature. You may not know this, but we actually have an organization over at the University of Montana, which is more or less a political committee, which runs ballot campaigns or participates in ballot campaigns for such things such as the anti-mining initiative, the marijuana initiative, a couple other initiatives on behalf of, fair to say, liberal left-leaning organizations operating out of the University of Montana. So this simply allows a little bit more disclosure on them so we can see what's going on and what they're doing. The second part, it repeals a statute. It's actually in the back here for a voluntary filing of broadcast materials. I don't think anybody uses this. And candidly, when looking at the statute, I don't think anybody in their right mind would do it anyways, because there's penalties for false swearing and so forth, which could send you to jail. So that section's being repealed. And then it's my understanding that in state administration, by the way, I do appreciate being assigned this bill out of state administration, even though I'm not in the committee. They did add back in one of Senator Howard's bills, which was pertained to religious organizations and the campaign finance practices. We did pass that bill through here, but it's my understanding that there was a little trouble in the House with the bill. But that's the bill. Those three things, I think, a fairly straightforward bill. And I think we've at least supported part of it already this session. So that I'd ask for green light.
Further discussion. Thank you for being so prompt, Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to rise in strong opposition to this bill, and I think that if you look at the bill, you can see that this has been hijacked. Certainly, some of the aspects that Senator Fitzpatrick, or the good senator from Great Falls, mentioned in the bill are still there, but that is so small potatoes compared to what this bill has become. So you all remember the bill that came from the good senator in the back row here about religious exemptions. The House was right to kill this bill in the House State Administration Committee because there are loopholes in it that somebody could drive a yacht through. I mean, it is unbelievable how wide open this creates our campaign finance system. So I understand that we're going to disagree on some of these things. I'm going to say that I'll be the first to throw out that should there be some exemptions for religious groups to make sure that they don't get caught up in the political world if they want to print out a handful of flyers? Absolutely. I think that we can certainly all agree on that, but that's not what this bill does. It says that if you are any religious organization, if you file as a nonprofit organization and say, hey, we're religious, a process that takes a couple hours, and it's only about a few pages long, to get signed up with the IRS, you can have unbridled amounts of spending in our elections, no limits, and you never have to report a dime to it to the public through the Commissioner of Political Practices. So understand that this bill is not about religious exemptions for churches out there that want to put something in the bulletin. This is about allowing federal mega donors, the people that want to spend millions and millions of undisclosed dollars in our state, to spend an afternoon creating an organization and then be able to spend unlimited amounts of money, whether it's a big liberal person or a big conservative person or somewhere in between, whatever their special agenda is, They're going to be able to spend unlimited amounts of money in our state because of this bill, and they will never have to report a dime of it. The people of Montana will never know where that came from. That's a shame. Folks, I'm just trying to be frank with you here because I know that we disagree when it comes to campaign finance stuff, but I can't imagine that there's folks on your side of the aisle that want to have George Soros dumping millions of dollars into this state to try to defeat you and people in your party. Nor do I want to see some of the big conservative donors come into the state. I want to make sure that Montanans are running our democracy. I want to make sure that they're in the driver's seat. And unfortunately, this is a train wreck of an amendment that makes this such a bad bill, and I hope you'll vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Howard.
Most of us here know that this bill has been through this body two other times. Both Democrat governors vetoed it. Also, the good senator must not know that religious nonprofits are under a different section, and the IRS puts all kinds of restrictions on them. They can't get millions of dollars and go all this. That is just ridiculous. Plus, the fact is that they have to spend over 50% of their money on their deal. They have to have ministers. They have to have all kinds of stuff. It would be almost impossible. Plus, the fact is they would instantly lose their nonprofit status if they did something like that because they can't break the law. We all know that in today's world, a church, most of them hardly can keep going. They just barely supplying, keeping their pastors going and that type of stuff. But the key to this bill is this. It's unfortunate that we don't seem to understand that the press in Montana has no controls, but they have the same right to speak as a religious organization. And what is political practicing doing? They went after Canyon Ferry Road Baptist Church in 2005 for a minimus amount. This really needs to pass. Please vote green.
Further discussion, Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Montana prides itself in the transparency that we have when we do political reporting. And one of the things that this bill does that I think is egregious is essentially exempt any religious organization or any organization that even says they are a religious organization from our political reporting. That to me seems like a shame, and I think that it's not only going to hurt political transparency in our state, but also impact nonprofits that reside in this state, and I urge you to vote no.
Further discussion? Seeing none, sponsor care to close.
I would, just a couple points. I think if you read the bill, I think it's very clear that the communication must be done by a religious organization that has sincerely held religious beliefs or practices. I think that really narrows down the scope. I don't think this is as the fear-mongering we've heard about blowing a hole in our campaign finance laws. And candidly, there are so many exceptions as it is right now. Even if this was one, I don't think it'd make any difference. So with that, I'd ask for your green light.
Question now arises on the motion by Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 689, recommend the same be concurred. As many in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators voting aye, 19 voting no. House Bill 689 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 235. Clerk, read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 235, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising supplemental nutrition assistance program laws, creating the nutrition incentives program for supplemental nutrition assistance program participants to buy eligible fruits and vegetables, updating terminology to match federal assistance program language, providing an appropriation, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, repealing section, and providing an effective date.
Sections.
Sections 1 through 25.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 235. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 235, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is the double SNAP bill that we blasted yesterday, and it's a nutrition incentive program that helps families in need afford more healthy foods while directly supporting Montana farmers. Double SNAP dollars provide matching dollars for customers who spend their SNAP benefits at participating farmers markets and farm share programs. We have a growing network of these incentive programs in Montana. Double SNAP is currently available at 23 farmers markets, 2 farm share programs, and 1 retail grocery store across Montana's across 13 counties in Montana. With a modest but meaningful investment in our state through House Bill 235, Montana would be able to offer double SNAP dollars in new communities, reaching more families and helping more farmers. This is how it works. The Department of Agriculture gets the money. There's $45,000 the first year, $50,000 the second year of the biennium. They will grant it out to a qualified nonprofit. Those set up partnerships with farmers' markets all over the state. The way that the money is accessed, if you will, the double SNAP, people with SNAP benefits, regular SNAP benefits, get EBT cards, they're called, which are electronic benefit transfer. So they're basically a credit card. They go to the farmer's market. There's a check-in place, if you will, or an information table. You can have them take $20 off your card. Now, this is double SNAP is $20 a day or a time at the market. And so what it does, it matches the $20 that are taken off your regular card and gives you tokens, and then it gives you $20 worth of, or up to whatever amount you want, up to $20, and matches it with SNAP, double SNAP tokens. Then you go spend it. The thing I want to bring up, only fruits and vegetables can be purchased with double SNAP tokens. Okay, it is a great way for families to help feed themselves, and it's a great way for farmers in Montana to get some more customers and be able to sell more product, Mr. Chairman.
We're discussion. Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I sat in this committee and we heard this bill. We had a good hearing. But I'd like to point out a couple of things. We have a huge influx of federal dollars coming in through the ARRA funds, and part of those is designated for SNAP. And one of the goals when we were looking at all that money was to not create new programs, not plant seeds of new government growth. And that's exactly what this program is. It's more government growth, but it's $50,000 of general fund, and the feds are already putting in $11 million. So this has already been basically replaced with the federal money coming in. We shouldn't start a new program. Vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Heimbaugh.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I don't know if you've noticed around this country how we've enabled people. We gave people something, and pretty soon they want something more, and they want something more, and they want something more. I guess I remember the saying, if you give a man a fish, he'll be back the next day with another one. If you teach him to fish, then he'll figure out how to get himself. I think this is enabling people. I think we wreck people by doing that. And so I would really encourage a no vote. Thanks.
Further discussion. Senator Sayles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Seatmate just brought up a great point that I want to also express. A few years ago, my kids had one of these so-called organic gardens of 8 acres, and they used this SNAP program. But a piece that hasn't been shared today was they were able to educate, just like we heard, teach this man to fish. they're able to take these folks that came out and use those SNAP dollars and show them what agriculture was about, show them how we use the soil and the water and the advantages that we have out in the rural areas growing up out there and producing food. So there's one aspect that you heard, and I think that Kerry did a great job, but I also want to express that we can use this to help educate those folks that aren't as fortunate to grow up out in the rural areas and understand and be taught what it means to use this land in a wise way.
Further discussion, Senator Howard.
Quickly, I just wanted the body to know that the nonprofit organization that's handling this is taking 20% off the top. They can already go to a market and they can buy and they can do. But this organization is taking 20% right off the top. Thank you.
For the discussion, Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. So I don't think it's accurate that 20% is being taken off of the top by the organization that is running this program right now. They are simply, it's a pass-through for this federal money. And I wanted to let folks know that while there is a boost on SNAP dollars right now, this double SNAP will help direct more of those federal funds into the hands of local growers. This bill helps low-income Montanans access healthier foods. It takes the burden off our healthcare system because healthy foods help children become better learners. We get better health outcomes for seniors and folks with disabilities. This helps local farmers. Right now, the majority, I think 50% of Montana farms are less than 180 acres. So we're in particular, using these dollars at local markets helps those smaller scale farmers and helps keep local dollars in local economies. This bill is really a win for Montana families. It's a win for Montana farmers, and it's a win for our economy. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Senator McGillivray.
Mr. Chairman, real briefly, and with all due respect to those who use SNAP, in 2011, there were $80 billion spent on SNAP programs. Half of that money was spent on junk foods, sugar, chips, energy drinks, things of that nature. And because of those misuse of those dollars for deleterious foods, we started education programs. And I'll spare you, I won't read you a whole page of different education programs we have in the state of Montana. There are dozens and dozens. And that didn't work. People still spending their SNAP benefits, nearly half of it on foods that are not healthy for them. So now we have a obesity epidemic. So now to make more bribery, we're going to do double SNAP to incent people to spend the money on the right foods. What I see here is the ultimate nanny state. And I would just encourage us to think about this. In the 60s, these programs started. Poverty rate was 12 to 13%. After trillions of dollars have been spent, billions on SNAP, poverty rate still at 12 to 13%. We are entrapping people in poverty. And I would submit that a favor for the people using these programs would be to look at what we're doing and help these people escape poverty rather than be in programs that if they try to get out of them, they cliff out and have 100% tax on the benefits they lose. These are bad ideas. I just hope that we would vote no.
Further discussion, Senator Jacobson.
Oh, I didn't think we talked enough about this. Mr. Chair, members of the body, I'm going to support this wholeheartedly. When we talk about double SNAP, we talk about providing extra funds for things like fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. We just heard, we talked about generational poverty. We talk about people who are buying food that's not healthy for them. Well, what are they doing? They're feeding it to their kids. They're teaching their kids. that this is what how we eat. And why providing those extra fruits, vegetables, healthy foods, giving them that opportunity, we're not just helping the parents, but we're helping the kids. And that's what this is really about. And that's what SNAP is really about. It's less about what the parents have done or what they're doing and how, you know, what's going on in their lives. It's about the kids that they have. And by providing them with nutritious food, by allowing us to go to the farmer's market and buy absolute fresh farm-to-table produce, that's going to help these kids as much as they're going to help the small businesses in the state. So please vote yes.
Further discussion, Senator McNally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think a lot has already been said on this, so I'm not going to add very much. Wanted to point out that this is not a new program that was suggested. This is already out there. We are trying to bump it up a little bit so that it can be in more places than it currently is, more than the 13 counties where it is currently operating. 1 in 8 Montanans struggle to find food, and a number of those people do rely on SNAP. And this double SNAP is a good education tool, and it does get them eating food, the right sorts of foods. And double SNAP has increased participation at Montana's local farmers markets by up to 125% in rural areas and 50 to 60% in urban areas. So it's good for families, it's good for kids, it's good for our small farmers, it's good for our local economy. So it's a good bill. I would ask for a do pass. Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, would the sponsor care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Double SNAP's making a real difference to families and farmers in our state. When a family can afford nutritious food, they are healthier and more productive. HB 235 is an opportunity to help families in need to afford healthy food, support our agriculture economy, and strengthen local food systems. Thousands of Montana families are struggling to make ends meet. As we begin to recover from this pandemic, many of our farmers have had exceptionally challenging years as well. Now is the time to make our state and make this important investment, Mr. Chairman.
Question now arises on a motion by Senator Solomon. When this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 235, recommend the same be concurred. As many as favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 26 senators vote aye and 24 senators vote nay.
26 senators voting aye, 24 no. House Bill 235 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 184. Senator Blaisdell, what's your pleasure here?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 184, I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Blaisdell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, this is the bill we heard quite a while ago, the Entrepreneur Magnet, which is part of the governor's comeback plan. Through a little bit of work through the House, there was some concern on some of the language in the bill and some of the businesses that might be able to receive this, so a lot of work went into it from the good chair from the House Taxation Committee and some members in the governor's office, and I look at this as a friendly amendment, Mr. Chairman.
For discussion, Senator Konauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would point you to the language that the House did add to the bill, and it starts on page 1 at the bottom. The term does not include either a business entity or a business entity with a financial interest in another business entity that is directly or indirectly engaged in a business activity that is illegal under federal law, regardless of how the business entity is organized. I just want you to understand what this amendment does, and I believe that it is unconstitutional to treat similarly situated businesses differently. Back down to the end of page 2, again, this is not a good bill for Montana because it does allow in the new section to have a zero alternative tax rate for long-term capital gains for these businesses. But this amendment does not make this bill any better, so I hope you'll vote no.
Seeing no further discussion, sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on a motion by Senator Blaisdell when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 184. Recommend the same be concurred in. Many in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators voting aye, 17 no. The House amendments to Senate Bill 184 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 278. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 278, that the same be do not concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you can see the House put a fairly lengthy amendment on here that needs some work. I also have some other technical issues on the bill in general, so I'd ask that we do not concur on this bill and send it to a free conference committee and clean this thing up. Thank you.
Discussion on the motion, Senator Boland.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, sorry. I agree. I am glad to support that. Do not concur on the amendments. Thank you.
Further discussion, seeing none. Sponsor care to close. The sponsor has closed. Question now arises on a motion by Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise and report after having consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 278, the recommend the same do not be concurred in. Many is in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye, the House amendments to Senate Bill 278 have not been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 287. What is your pleasure, Senator Sayles?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 287, it recommend the same do be concurred in.
Senator Sayles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Body, this is the state building construction loan that we had back some time ago, passed out of here, but also brought the wise attention to the Board Council and the Board of Investments. So working with them and some folks from the Governor's office and over in the House, They did make some changes, and just quickly I'll point out one big one that made the approval of both the Council and the Board of Investments. In Section 2, Subsection 5, A and B, they made it clear that the financing was for construction of buildings and would not affect the bonding process. And then also the last section, which is a key piece of this also, in moving these sections into the code, which is now moved over to Title 2, Chapter 17, where before we had them over Title 18. So that relieved all the questions that was raised, and I would ask for a green and do concur.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, the sponsor care to close. Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion by Senator Sayles that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 287, recommend the same be concurred in. Many is in favor, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye, the House amendments to Senate Bill 287 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, we now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 367. What is your pleasure, Senator Mongeau?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 367, I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Mongeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. As you all may remember, this bill deals with employment relationships with an entity and party holding themselves out as an independent contractor. This bill addresses those situations when a hired party is representing themselves as having an independent contractor and a certificate when they actually don't have that. So the meat of the amendments are on page 2 and page 6. Page 2, lines 19 through 20, we changed and cleaned that language up to say an individual may not be determined to be an employee based solely on not having an independent contractor exemption certificate. And then the meat of the bill is in the penalty section on page 6, lines 22 to 26, which addresses individuals who falsely claim to be an exempt contractor through credible evidence to have an independent contractor certificate may not be considered to be an employee solely based on not actually having an independent contractor exemption certificate. What we did add in the House, which I think was a good amendment, and with working with stakeholders, was that the burden of proof that an independent contractor is certified rests with the independent contractor and not the hiring entity. And again, this is in the penalty section. So when someone holds themselves out as a contractor, and they falsely claim that they were a contractor, that burden rests with them to prove that they weren't when we have credible evidence showing that they said they were one. So, no, I worked with stakeholders, and we ultimately agreed to chop out the bigger chunk of section on just the independent contractor's certificate itself, which is stricken in the bill, as you can see. And we all felt that these sections still addressed and protected folks who hire someone who holds himself out as an independent contractor.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, does the sponsor care to close?
I close.
Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the House amendments to Senate Bill 367. As many are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators voting aye, 3 voting no. The House amendments to Senate Bill 367 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 40. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellis?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 40, that it recommend the same do not be concurred in. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to remind the body what this bill did. And on page 1, what it tried to do was add the Department of Livestock and the Upper Columbia Conservation Commission to the Montana Invasive Species Council Board. If you look on page 2, you'll see the amendment. And although you may like the idea behind the amendment, I don't think you're going to like the consequence. And I have a letter, if anybody's interested, to Director Kasten about what this bill does with the amendment. But basically, it takes out 4 of our 8 tribes. It takes out all weed districts, all conservation districts, 2 utilities, and the extension service from MSU. And because of that consequence, I believe this needs to be defeated, or we need to take the amendment off. In addition, I just wanted to mention that the new governor has recently appointed someone new to this board, and it is somebody who would be disqualified if this amendment stayed on the bill. So I do think this needs to go to conference committee, and I'd ask for a do not pass. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on the senator's motion to do not concur? Seeing none, Senator care to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion on House amendments to Senate Bill 40 that the same be not concurred in. As many in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Has every member voted? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 40 senators vote aye and 10 senators vote nay.
40 senators having voted aye and 10 voting no. House amendments to Senate Bill 40 have not been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 108. What is your pleasure, Senator Kerry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 108, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Kerry.
Senate Bill 108 left here long about January 31st, February 1st, on its trip to the House. It was greatly amended. But in its amended form, it basically requires 5% of the voters within a health board's jurisdiction to sign a petition seeking to amend or even undo the actions of a board of health. If a petition were approved before the order takes effect or within 2 weeks of the health board's vote, the action would be put on hold until the election is held. Health boards do have an important role, but the public also needs to have a voice. The ultimate power does reside with the people, and that is what this amendment to this bill does. I doubt this bill would lead to any actual elections, but it does make a statement that the people do have the final say if they choose. I ask the body to concur with the amended version of Senate Bill 108.
Any discussion on the House amendments? Seeing none, does the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the House amendments to Senate Bill 108. As many as in favor of the motion, vote aye. Opposed, no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators voting aye. 19 voting no. The House amendments to Senate Bill 108 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 363. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having had under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 363, recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very simply, what this bill does is it revises laws with relating to how annuity products are sold. And when it went over to the House, there were some fairly substantial discussions with the auditor's office, and they came up with this language that is intended to protect people when they buy annuities and to prevent a situation where people or where an insurance broker basically encourages people to liquidate their securities portfolio to buy an annuity. Under current law, that's something that really needs to be done by somebody with a securities license and not an insurance agent. So this just ensures that doesn't happen. I support the amendment. Ask for a green light.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, does the sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the House amendments to Senate Bill 363. As many are in favor of the motion to vote aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye. House amendments to Senate Bill 363 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House amendments to Senate Joint Resolution 16. What is your pleasure, Senator Heimbaugh?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having a consideration House amendments to Senate Bill or to Senate Resolution, Joint Resolution 16, be accepted.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Mr. Chairman, I guess we could, when I think about what happened with the Keystone Pipeline, and that's what this is about, it still disturbs me a little bit. And the House added a few things to this resolution. We could probably write a whole book on what happened, the effect that this executive order that the president has, how has it affected our economy? And they put a couple of them on, such as the stealing of the property of the Keystone Pipeline, and then also the idea that we lost power when we had the situation down in Texas, because we have been fighting fossil fuel, which is really the only dependable fuel that we have. So let's approve these amendments. Thanks.
Any discussion on the House amendments? Seeing none, does sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the House amendments to Senate Joint Resolution 16. Be concurred in. Many in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 voting no. House amendments to Senate Joint Resolution 16 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 231. What is your pleasure, President Blaisdell?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 231, it recommend the same be not concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
President Blaisdell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, this was a bill dealing with family transfers. The House put a number of amendments on it. I'm hoping to put it in a free conference committee. Although the bill had bipartisan support coming out of here, there's been some angst by a number of the different associations and groups that want to make sure there's no unintended consequences, both with the House amendments and some of the language that was in the original bill. So I'd like to get this in conference committee and make sure it does what we want it to do, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does sponsor care to close? Sponsor has closed. Question now arises on the motion on the House amendments to Senate Bill 231 that the same be not concurred in. Any in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye, 0 no. The House amendments to Senate Bill 231 have not been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
Heard the motion, Senator Smith. Many in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Resolutions 93 and 99 adopted. Senate Joint Resolutions 26 and 28 do pass. Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 39 adopted. House Bill 367 and Senate Bill 319 have been passed for the day. House amendments to Senate bills concurred in. Senate Bills 108, 184, 231, 287. I'm sorry, not 231. 103, 184, 287, 363, 67, Senate Joint Resolution 16. House amendments to Senate Bills 40, 231, 278 not concurred in. House was concurred in. House Bills 235, 247, 464, 522, 624, 641, 647, 665, 689, 696, and 704.
Senator Esp.
Mr. President, I move the committee report be adopted.
For the motion of Senator Esp, that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Wellborn, Senator Ankeny, Senator Solomon. We'll excuse. Oh, there he is here.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
36 senators haven't voted aye, and 14 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Esp. Go back to order business number 2, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, your Committee on Finance and Claims report that House was 663, 671, and 678 be concurred and submitted. Senator Ryan Oswins and Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Order business number 3, reports to select committees.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, we are conference committees met and considered Senate amendments to House Bill 178 and recommend this conference committee report be adopted. Signed, Senator Doug Carey, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to our business number 9, motion. Senator Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 235 to Finance and Claims, create nutrition incentive program for SNAP participants. Primary sponsor, Representative Welch.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer to Finance and Claims, House Bill 522, create the Montana Military Strategic and Economic Task Force. Primary sponsor, Representative Buttrey.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer to Finance and Claims, Senate Bill 704, short title, Generally Revised State Lottery Laws. Primary sponsor, Representative Buttrey.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 191, sponsored by Representative Hopkins, Revised Residential Property Tax Credit for Elderly, to Senate Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move the appointment of a free conference committee on Senate Bill 278 and request the House appoint a like committee. Its short title is General Revised Civil Liability Laws, and the sponsor is Senator Hertz.
President appoints Senator Hertz chair, Senator Fitzpatrick, Senator Boland to the Free Conference Committee on 278.
Mr. President, I move the appointment of a conference committee on Senate Bill 40 and request the House to appoint a like committee. Short title is Revised Membership of the Montana Invasive Species. Sponsor is Senator Ellis.
President appoints Senator Wellborn chair, Senator Cuff, Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I move the appointment of a free conference committee on Senate Bill 231 and request the House to appoint a like committee. Short title is to revise exempt well laws related to family transfer parcels, and the sponsor is Senator Blaisdell.
President appoints Senator Blaisdell chair, Senator Fitzpatrick, Senator Boldman.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House and appoint a conference committee on House Bill 276. The short title is put peer support specialists on the Board of Behavioral Science. And the sponsor is Representative Caffaro.
President appoints Senator McGilvery chair, Senator Glimm, Senator Gross.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House and appoint a free conference committee on House Bill 525, short title General Revised Laws Related to Alcohol Concession Agreements. Sponsor is Representative Buttrey.
President appoints Senator Fitzpatrick chair, Senator Small, Senator Jacobson.
Mr. President, I move the Senate accede to the request of the House and appoint a free conference committee on House Bill 502. Short title is Create Exemption from Child Placement Licensure Requirements. Sponsor is Representative Sheldon Galloway.
President appoints Senator Howard chair, Senator McGilvery, Senator Gross. See no further motions. Without objection, we'll go to our business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Bennett.
Mr. President, may be off the record and out of the journal for an award.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a two-time SpaghettiO winner, I feel like I have a good eye for these things as to, you know, who really stands up to the caliber. And I think that today we found out that a senator from across the way has a real funny bone when he decided to make some jokes about severed, decomposing human body parts. So I award the SpaghettiO Award to Senator Bob Brown.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to have a business and labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. There will be no natural resources today.
Senator Osmundson.
Senate Finance and Claims, 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Senator Howard.
Senate Public Health at 315, room 317 today.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, the Marijuana Select Committee will be meeting at 4:30, and I know that's late, but that's when it has to happen, and that's room 337.
Okay, see no further announcements. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m. on April 22nd, the 75th legislative day.
Heard the motion, Majority Leader Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on April 22nd. Senate adjourned. Thank you.